This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Liz Hudson. We're going to talk to Liz about this concept of taking a product from idea all the way through to successful launch. Many of the concepts apply to people starting a company or starting a product within a company, and love to hear her thoughts on it. Liz, can you take one moment to introduce yourself? And we see so many ideas that never make it to successful launch. Talk about how you get from an idea to actually a company, or an idea to actually, in this case, a product that's actually launched into the market. Liz?
Sounds great. Thanks, Scott. Yeah, I'm Liz Hudson. I'm the founder and principal consultant of EGH LLC, and we're primarily focused on healthcare products and services, and we're also almost 100% focused on the private equity space. So product development and innovation are things that are just near and dear to my heart. I think my brain splits a little bit between the creative side and the more analytical, methodical side. I'm both a singer and an engineer, and so I kind of have that mix of things that go in my head. So I love this space of product development because for me, it really uses both sides of my brain. And I think a lot of times we think of product development as a creative activity and we don't want to bind it with process and push it down like that. But, it definitely is a creative process, if you will, and it needs methodical process as well. It's one thing that, both for myself when I was working at Cardinal Health for 10 years and did a lot in this kind of space, and now for 10 years in the consulting world as I work with my clients on developing products, working on projects, whether it be something that's totally new to the market or whether it's something that we're reintroducing or doing line extensions or whatever it may be. I work with my teams a lot on a good process that supports product development.
So take a moment. For a private equity sponsored company, it's often all about growth at the end of the day. And it's growth through organic growth or buying things. And then the organic side or buying things, it's trying to first sell more of your core products that you have or more of your core whatever service you have. And then it's constantly about line extension and line extension that's close to the existing line, typically adjacent line extension. Talk about how people think about in a structured way line extension and adding products to an existing company, whether it's a media company, a product company, a medical device company. How do you think about expanding the products that you sell and developing those products?
Yeah, such a great question and something that I work with my clients on a lot. So I think it always, always, always comes back to the customer first and foremost. What is it that the customer is struggling with, and what is it that they need? What are the things that they know that they need, and what are the things that they don't even realize they need that they need? So I think first and foremost, and I talk about this a lot, is just being intimate with the customer pain points. What are the frustrations that they're going through? What is preventing them from being more successful than they can be? And so that's where the core of good product development and innovation comes, is solving a problem first and foremost. But, it's important though, as a company, to not only do that first and foremost, but also understand what is it that the company and the people and their technologies, what are they known for? What are they really good at? And then what are they passionate about? Or in other words, what is it that their whole company is all about? What is their strategy, their vision, their value proposition? And is this thing that they're trying to solve in line with that, right? So if you kind of take those three things of customer focus, what we're good at, and then what we're in line with, I think we put those three things together. That's where you find really great ideas. When I work with groups,
Take one second, Liz, for those people taking notes. Yeah. Tell us those three things and sort of looking at a product, additional product or product expansion. Give us those three things.
Yep, sure. So the first thing is going to be customer intimacy. What is the customer dealing with? What are their pain points? That's first and foremost. The second piece is going to be, what are you uniquely good at from your people, your technology? What is your cutting edge thing that you're known for, right? So your sweet spot, if you will. So that's number two. And then number three is, how does that fit with your strategy, right? So, you know, if you're focused on, you know, the respiratory space, then maybe jumping out into a space that's really not connected to that, it might be, you know, a profitable area. It might solve the needs of the customer, but it's really outside of what your focus area is. So that might not be something that makes a lot of sense for you to build out. So again, those are the three areas.
Sure. What do your customers really want? What are you really good at? And what are sort of natural adjacencies for yourself, really?
Exactly. Exactly right.
And talk a bit more about, you know, obviously some of these companies in the world, the Apples of the world, have gotten so good at systematically doing the next launch, figuring out the next launch, figuring out the next product expansion, you know, things that we might not have realized that we needed. A great example is the wearables. If you would have told me 10 years ago, so many people would have these iWatches and wearables and so forth, I would have thought that was insane. You know, who needs another thing to charge? Who needs another thing to wear? You know, who just needs another gadget? But they've made a huge business out of it. How do companies go about thinking about, you know, what do customers need? And I find it particularly interesting when somebody could define an idea that is, you know, that the customer doesn't know they need. And I think often to be great as a company, you sort of have to be so good at it and know your business so well that you sort of know sometimes what your customers want before they even do. You know,
that's right.
If they could define it so perfectly, they might not need you. But
that's right.
You know, so how do you get to that spot where you know it so well that you could actually help define, you know, what's needed, even if they don't know what's needed?
It comes back to, you know, being close to the customer, right? Living in their shoes, listening to what they're saying, observing. You know, I love ethnographic primary market research because you're walking their shoes and you're really observing where their pain points are. You're hearing from them, you're talking with them. And as they're saying, you know, that they have an issue with something, you start to get after the core of their problem. And when you realize that it's, you know, oftentimes what they're describing is a symptom, not the core. And so if you're actually able to drive to what's driving that, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's process, whether it's inability to address their patient needs, you know, all of those different things, you start to get after and peel back the onion to understand really the core of their need. Then, you know, I think it's really important that there's a person or a team of people, ideally, that are just populating that what we call pre-stage zero, right? Like the innovation cloud, where you're just filling it full with ideas. I mean, they might be off the wall, they might be very simple line extension kinds of things, but just keeping that cloud really, really full. Not all of them are going to go forward. In fact, very few of them are going to go forward, but that's where the ideas start to percolate. And you might find, you know, you come up with an idea that you think is for one problem and it just sits there in the cloud for a little while. You might actually end up using that solution for a very, very different problem, but it's important to just keep filling it full, never thinking any one of these is a bad idea. Now, it's not a great idea for all of them to move forward because not all of them are healthy. Not all of them will be a good use of time and money and people, but it's good to fill that full and then start to screen those ideas. And that's where the process comes into play, where we go, okay, of these hundreds or thousands of ideas that we have here, which one do we want to take to the next level and start to put people against this and put some time and money against this and see, you know, which one of these will actually be useful to our customers, which one of these importantly also will be beneficial to the business.
And you're often working with major, major launches, people launching what they think will be $100 million products or more. Mm-hmm. How much do people invest in those at the seed stage to decide whether it's a real idea? What does that look like, that sort of investment early, and how much to decide, are they really going after this?
Yep. So I think that looks different when you're talking acquisition or partnership versus if you're doing you know, something that is truly organic and kind of developing on your own. When I think of the development side of things, I think, you know, I love the stage gate process, which is basically a methodology that chunks development into anywhere from 3 stages to 5 stages to 7 stages, depending on your business. And it basically looks at things at a very macro level at the beginning, and your investment is going to be pretty minimal because you're just exploring it, right? You're starting very wide, very broad. And then as you learn more and go, hey, this still seems interesting, this is still attractive, let's move it to the next stage. You start to do a little bit more investment, right? You're starting to go, let's do, you know, a market research study, or let's go travel out to visit these customers. You're spending a little bit more money, you're spending a little bit more time, but you also think the idea has, you know, has some bite to it. You think it's going to work. As you move into the stages that follow and you're starting to, you know, get capital for it, or invest in raw materials or talent or whatever that might be, you're starting to build more and more. But again, each stage that you move forward with, you are decreasing your level of risk because you know more about the project. You know that it has a higher probability of success. So from an organic development perspective, I think you're starting pretty light at the beginning. And then once you hit that kind of between what I think of as stage two, stage three in the stage gate world, that's kind of what we think of as our money gate. And that's where you're going, we know a good bit about this. We know our customers are interested in this. We know how we're going to go after this. And we think it's a good idea for us to spend some money on it. That's where you really start to make that investment. To me, it was smartly around the middle of the project development. With acquisition or partnership, it's a little bit different there. You're making a bigger investment, obviously, at the front end of it, betting on what you see is coming.
No, but it's absolutely fascinating, your perspective on this. And it's so different from company to company. It's often based on their leadership. You know, some people work by intuition, which is okay. Others get more sophisticated, more focused, and much better at doing exactly what you're talking about, which is a much deeper methodical drive into should this work or should it not. And it's not that the intuition of a Steve Apple or Steve Jobs at Apple could ever be argued with, but at the same time, this more systematic approach for most companies is certainly the way to go. Liz, how do people learn more about you if they want to talk to you about product launch, product expansion, extension, et cetera? How do people learn more about Liz Hudson?
Yeah, no, thanks, Scott. You can find me on LinkedIn, Elizabeth Hudson, or you can go to our website, eghllc.net. Would love to talk some more about product development and, you know, all the great things that come from innovation when it's done really, really well.
Liz, as always, what a pleasure to visit with you. I always learn something. Thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today.
Thank you, Scott. Great to talk with you.